you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Heaven, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for this beautiful day that we have come to assemble in thy name. And believing, Father, that we are going through the process of the invisible union, knowing that we have an intimate relationship with you, and knowing that intimate relationship with you not only comes from a knowing, from the senses of conscience and memory and those things in the spirit, but also from see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Knowing, O God, that our relationship with you is based upon more than just words, but it's based upon life. And so we come to you in that name, the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So far in our study of doctrine, we've looked at three very important points of focus concerning doctrine, and they are, number one, there must be the one who reveals. That's just the supreme. That's the ultimate. Number two, there must be the one in whom or through whom we receive the doctrine, and that is a vindicated prophet. In other words, the one in whom God makes known his revelation of himself. Number three, there must be ones to whom the doctrine is revealed, a special kind of a person, a chosen people, a peculiar nation. That's us. Now, this morning, I would like to focus on one other thought concerning doctrine, especially the doctrine of Christ. And what I want to show you is that there's always a build-up to the doctrine. In other words, God just doesn't send a man along and he's got doctrine. So then he's going to bring doctrine and nothing else. Now, teachers teach doctrine, and they may come and teach doctrine, but the word of the Lord doesn't come to teachers. The word of the Lord comes to a prophet. And God never sent a prophet to declare his doctrine without sending signs and wonders first to attract the people to the vessel that he's using to bring forth his doctrine through. So that's very important for us to understand, that God just doesn't, you know, flip out some man and he comes down and he says, well, I'm going to teach you doctrine. People say, I don't want to listen. I've got my own doctrine. So God attracts your attention, gets your attention because he brings forth things that man cannot do, verifying that this is the man you listen to. And if you recall in our sermon number two, the one in whom he reveals, we showed you how that God promised in Deuteronomy 13 and verse 18, chapter 18, that the one he chose to reveal his word through comes with signs and wonders and with thus saith the Lord. That's very important. Because in this message, and as I showed you last night, around 1977, the fivefold ministry churches began to kind of bloom, kind of burst forward. Maybe a few years before that they started, but the real 74 was really a mass induction into the message. I mean, there was people all over the place. Young people came into the message. That was a big year for the message. And so, but we had also the teachers came on the scene. Now, Brother Bell was one of the first because he was with Brother Branham. But then you had quite a few others come along, and they all had their doctrine, and it was the doctrine that took the people and divided the people, because any doctrine that does not point you to Christ is man's doctrine. It's got to, number one, that's the number one principle, is got to point you to Christ. If it doesn't point you to Christ, forget it. I'm not interested. I'm just not, and I don't mean to be sound like I'm, you know, I'm rough and tough up here. I'm not. But I'm just not interested in anything outside of thus saith the Lord. I'd like to show you something, but I just don't have the time this morning to do it. Maybe Wednesday night I will. But I had put on Hear Ye Him, you know, He That Believeth, that study I had. Beautiful quote from Brother Branham that Brother Branham said, Brother Branham, can anybody do the works of Christ? And he said, anybody, everybody, whoever. He said five different times in that one paragraph. And you know what? That paragraph, for years and years and years, was missing from the text document of that questions and answers. I sent it to Brother Mario. I asked him if he would translate it. He comes back to me, and he said, Brother, it's not even in the sermon that I'm looking at. So I went to the voice of God. It was right there. Then I went over to Eddie Biscoe's site. It wasn't there. I went to the voice of truth, that one that we have on our iPhones. It wasn't there. Then I looked at the beginning of the sermon on the voice of God. They got the whole introductory, good evening, Brother Neville, so good to see you, and good evening, church, and all this stuff. But it wasn't in the other one. It just went right to the second paragraph. And I realized that over the years, because George Smith told me this back in 83, he said the certain brother that was doing the reel-to-reels, he would put them out, he'd take the master reel, then he put 11 more Wolensack reel-to-reel recorders. And then he would tie from one to the next to the next, he'd patch cord them all together. So then he would turn on the master, then he would go down and hit the record button, record button, record button, record button, record button, until he hit 12 record, or 11 record buttons. By the time he got to the 11th, he had about 11 seconds that were missing. So in the beginning, and right in the middle, it was missing. Now, people like my father-in-law, who had been with Brother Branham since the early 50s, they had many of those tapes. And so when my father-in-law died, we gave the tape to the Voice of God. And they said they go through them because they're finding that there's missing pieces. And many times you see in the document, you'd be reading along, says a missing portion. Well, missing portion. Isn't it strange that the missing portion was where Brother Branham got very, very particular with John 14:12? I don't think that that's any coincidence. I think it wasn't for people before. It's for this very last hour when we're supposed to come to the capstone ministry. Hallelujah. I'll show it to you because Brother Mario, he went through and he put red, you know, and then what I gave him was in yellow, and then behind was red. And it's just like that particular paragraph was just taken out of these other people's copies of the text of Brother Branham. And because they were publishing what had been published maybe back in the 60s or 70s or whenever they did that particular questions and answers, or from the red books that Brother Perry Green did back in the 70s or whatever. But this was more information because this was actually what had been missed on one of those tapes, and they found a tape. Perhaps it was my father-in-law's tape, I don't know, or somebody else's tape. But people that had turned them in, and they went through and they found, hey, this is missing. They compare, and they do a wonderful job there of restoring things that were taken out and spliced out of the tapes. Now, I won't say spliced out. It wasn't intentional. It was just that's the technology they worked with. They could have bought better technology, but it would cost a lot more money than perhaps they had to spend. But I just to let you know, this is the way God operates. He hides it, and he reveals it to those who would learn. So this morning, as I said, we're going to focus on that other thought, and that is how God brings and how he gets our attention to bring the doctrine. Now, if you recall in our sermon, doctrine number two, the one in whom he reveals, we showed you how that God promised in Deuteronomy 13 and 18 that the Lord never does anything except to come through a vindicated prophet. But man has not always accepted the word of the Lord or the teaching of the doctrine that is brought by the vessel of God's choosing. Even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had a great deal of difficulty getting the people to believe the doctrine that he came with. And he told them the doctrine was not his own, it was the Father's who sent them. In John 7 and verse 16, Jesus answering them said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak it of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeks his own glory, but he that seeks his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." So the doctrine that you believe, is it yours or is it God's? Like Paul says, what have you got that hasn't been given to you? So why? He said there's no boasting in Christ. Then we find in contention with the people, Jesus was in contention with the people in John 10:32 over the doctrine that he taught. He said, "Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you of my Father. Which of these works do you stone me?" And the Jews answering him said, "For a good work we stone thee not." Jesus answered them and said, "Is not it written in your law? I said you are gods." "For good works we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." So the doctrine of Christ was rejected. They said, "Oh, the good things, the miracles and all that, we don't stone you for that. It's you opened up your mouth and you proclaimed your relationship with the Father." Well, I think any time men claim their relationship with the Father, it's going to be attacked because it was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now Jesus answered them, said, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? And if he called them gods unto whom the word of the Lord came, and the scripture cannot be broken, you can't take it out, say ye to him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. In other words, look, before I came with the word, with the doctrine, God vindicated my vessel, to be truthful. That God's presence is with me, and therefore now what I'm going to tell you, it's not even mine, it's his that sent me. So why can't you believe it? You've seen God. You say, no man can do these things except God be with him. And so I do those things, showing God is with me. And then when I open my mouth and teach the doctrine, you have a who do you think you are? We don't believe it that way, so therefore you're wrong. Well, you know, at the white throne, all things will be sorted out. That's all I can say about it. Jesus said, believe me not, not what? He's saying, look, if God doesn't back up what I'm telling you concerning the doctrine I teach, then you don't have to believe it. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Now, I'm going to take the opinion of a thus saith the Lord person, like a prophet of God, over my own opinion. Because that man, is when he speaks, it's God speaking through him. Speaking lip to lip. Now Wednesday night, we're going to cover this thought here in more detail on the doctrine must be vindicated. But I want to focus on the order in which the doctrine always comes. And you'll always notice that the people not only fussed with Jesus, but they fussed with Paul, they fussed with Moses as well. Now, they did not fuss concerning the signs and wonders, but they fussed with the teaching they brought, the doctrine they taught. Now, we know God will do nothing lest he reveals it through his prophets first. That's Amos 3 and 7. And Psalm 103 and verse 7, we read, he made known his ways unto Moses, but his acts unto the children of Israel. Notice how the people were capable of seeing the acts of God, but Moses knew God's ways. He knew why God was doing those things. That's a doctrine. I could ask in here, how many of you understand the principle behind that little switch over there on the wall for turning on and off the lights? How many of you can put that together? How many of you can connect that to the main power? How many of you can do it? Maybe a handful of people in here. Don, Gary, Derek, Michael, Nick. Oh, Steve, of course. Justin. How many of you have ever installed electricity? Just the ones I mentioned, pretty much. Then the others, you would be afraid. You would look at it and say, well, I don't want to attempt it. Well, see, you don't have to know how it works. All you got to do is know that it does work. Amen? Okay. Then all we have to do is know that God has a vindicated man right there. That's the switch. And all you got to do is go to that message and turn on the switch. There is a man here that can turn on the light. See? God also says in Psalm 95 and 10, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart. Now, Moses knew the acts. Moses knew how to turn that switch on. The others did not. They could see that it works. They saw the works of God, but they didn't know how it worked. In fact, in Isaiah 55 and 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, in order to understand God, you have to have the Holy Ghost. You can try in your mind to understand, it'll never work. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. So it takes the Spirit of God in you to understand, and there's many people who claim, well, I sat under Brother Vail, or I sat under Brother Branham. Yeah, but do you have the Holy Ghost? Oh, I got the Holy Ghost. Okay, what's your experience with God? Well, I listen to tapes. I'm sorry, that's no experience with God. Show me where God has come into you and God has bore witness with your life. You can't do it. Unless you got the Holy Ghost, then you can do it. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost, it's all intellect. And I'm sorry, brother, sister, I'm laying the boom down. But you've got to be born again if you're going to go in the rapture. Let's not be playing games. And if God has not bore witness in your spirit, through John 14:12, through signs and wonders, through God, the supernatural of God, actually doing in your life things that you could not do, then I doubt very much you have more than just an intellectual conception of God. The world is full of them. And the world is full of people that claim to believe this message, claim to be Christians. They're not going in a rapture either. 2 million people left Egypt. 2 entered in. 6 billion people on earth in Noah's day. 8 entered the ark. Brother Branham said, God uses signs, wonders, and healing to get the attention of the people to receive the bread of life. It's like the wrapping on a loaf of bread. You don't eat the wrappings, but the wrappings gets your attention to the bread. Now, I'm not saying just because you have signs and wonders that you got it either. Because I've seen a lot of men. I've been to a lot of meetings. And it looks pretty good, but you always find out they got some gadget working. Moore Cirillo, I attended his meetings when I was like 23 years old. He tried to put on like he had discernment, like Brother Branham. Come to find out that there's 4,000 people in the crowd. He says, the Lord is showing me right now there's 8 men in here that have hernias. Well, the odds are that there'd be something like 8% of men have hernias. So 8% of 4,000, half of that maybe is men, half is women. You know, the odds are there was probably a couple hundred in there that had hernias. Stand up to your feet, and God will make you well. So the 8 people or 25 people, whatever it was, that stood to their feet, they're working the odds. It's all a sham. That's not how God works. It's not how God works. And God doesn't guess. He doesn't have to guess. He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So you see, just because a person appears to have something doesn't mean that they have it either. But you will have, thus saith the Lord. And you'll live, thus saith the Lord. And your life will bear witness that you're living, thus saith the Lord. Now, Brother Rand says, God uses signs and wonders, or Brother Boswell said, God uses signs and wonders and healing to get the attention of the people to receive the bread of life. He said, it's like the wrappings on a loaf of bread. You don't eat the wrappings, but the wrappings get your attention to the bread. And in the book of Numbers, we see that Moses was given 2 signs by God to get the people's attention. Now, if the sign has one purpose, and that is to get your attention, so you can be taught, then the doctrine or the teaching is much more important than the sign that God uses to get your attention. From Exodus chapter 4 and verse 8. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, nor hearken to the voice of the first sign, and they will believe that they will believe the voice of the second sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these 2 signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Now, Brother Branham said in a sermon, who is this Melchizedek? The church has got its last sign before the whole world's going to be destroyed. And he also said, but then where's the royal seed of Abraham? Where is their sign? And he went on, the last sign before the Gentile world was destroyed by fire. Now, we all know the last sign was the Messiah sign, sign of Messiah. We've had our last sign, but that does not negate that there will still be signs and wonders. Because these are not new signs. These are the same life, the same signs, the same wonders that they had in the first church when they were truly born again. And if you are truly born again, the very nature, the very signs and wonders that Jesus does, you will do. It's there. You just don't want it enough. Now, in order to understand what he's talking about concerning this last sign to the Gentile world, we must first ask ourselves, what is a sign? And so we find our answer in Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. He says, sign, from the Latin signum, meaning a mark, a token, a sign, an image, a seal, something by which a thought or command can be expressed. Therefore, the sign is not the thing itself, but the expression of a thought or message behind the sign is that what we're supposed to look for. And the expression of the sign is called the voice of the sign. In other words, you have a stop sign. Okay, it does say stop, but that's a message. Now, the reason it's in red, red is for warning. It's not yellow, that's for yielding. It's not white, that's for information. It's in red to let you know, hey, there's danger if you go beyond this sign. Stop. There's a voice to the sign. Brother Branham spoke about the importance of a voice behind the sign and even preached a message less than a year after preaching the seals called the voice of the sign. Now, God's prophets are a sign to a generation. But that's not the important thing. It's the message of, it's the voice of the sign. It's the message that's brought forth. Many people pointing, God sent a prophet, God sent a prophet, God sent a prophet. But what did he say? They want the sign, but they don't want the voice of the sign. From his sermon, Go Tell, Brother Rapp said, we can see signs and wonders, but we watch what voice the sign has. And from Go Tell, he says, oh, hallelujah, the voice of the sign. God told Moses, if they won't hear the voice of the first sign, then they hear the voice of the second sign. Not so much the sign, but the voice that went with it. So this is not Brother Branham terminology. This is God. God said if they won't hear the voice of the sign of the first one, they might hear the second one. And if they don't hear the voice of the second one, then, and if they don't hear your voice, then I will have to deal with them. So we see that Brother Branham placed the emphasis not on the sign, but on the message the sign pointed to. The voice of the sign then is more important than the actual sign itself. Because after all, the voice behind the sign is what the very sign is given for. The voice is the very purpose for the sign in the first place. You don't put a stop sign at the entrance coming in. Now, you might put it at the entrance going out, so they stop before they merge with traffic. But signs have a specific message. Okay? In Exodus 4 and 1, we read, Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is it in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it to the ground. And he cast it to the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth now thine hand, and take it by the tail. It took a lot of guts for him to do that. And he put forth his hand, and he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they might believe that the Lord God of thy fathers, the father of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out from his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. You say, well, what does that mean? When he put his own hand in his flesh, and it came out, and it was rotten. Leprosy. Put his hand in again. Did you know Brother Branham said when he began to go forth in his ministry, God gave him two signs. One was in the hand. People would see, he'd have his hand on, laying on top of them, and there'd be like all, like little things running all over his hand, under the skin. Just look really crazy. He had to change watches because he kept breaking watches all the time. That was the first sign. Second sign was the discernment, the Messiah sign. You know what? They didn't even believe that. Oh, they loved the sign. Oh, that's a beautiful stop sign. It's red and it's white, and you know, it's very appealing to the eye. And yeah, they loved the sign, but they didn't believe the voice behind it. Because when he began to open his mouth to teach the doctrine of Christ, they couldn't take it. So we see the scriptural term voice of the sign is not a term that Brother Branham coined or made up, but rather it is something that God himself is the author of. Therefore, we are examining in the study the scriptural principle of the voice of the sign and what it means to the elect in their day. Now, from his sermon, Queen of Sheba, Brother Branham said, many people are following signs. It isn't the signs, it's the voice that goes with the signs. It isn't the fact that John 14:12, that the works that I do, you'll do them also. The fact is that that is a genuine evidence that there's a relationship between you and God. Because what you're asking, he's answering. Moses, when he was given two signs, God told him, if they won't hear the voice of the first sign, then they will hear the voice of the second sign. Each sign is just a sign. Man has gifts and things, but watch what's behind it. Satan can impersonate anything almost. He is an impersonator and he can impersonate, but watch the kind of voice that it is. What does it do? The voice of the sign. Is it pointing you, the ministry, is it pointing you to Christ or is it pointing you to self? Is it pointing you to Christ that you become like him, or is it pointing you that you can come under the thumb of the preacher? Notice Brother Branham is letting you know that the emphasis is not to be placed on the sign itself, but rather the voice behind the sign, and that is what is important to watch. From a sermon called Voice of the Sign, Brother Branham said, now, we find out here the burning bush was a sign. It was given to attract the attention of Moses. Now, that's what Moses gives a sign for. That's what God gives a sign for, excuse me, is to attract the attention of the people. That's what a sign is for, is to attract attention. And when we go down through the scripture here, as we teach it now for a few minutes, and find out that it isn't so that he gives these signs to attract attention. And then when he gets the attention of the people, then the voice of the sign begins to speak. Jesus healed the sick to attract attention. See, then when he began to preach, see, always it attracts attention. The burning bush was given to Moses to attract the runaway prophet's attention. And he turned aside to see what it was. Then the sign gave a voice. The sign itself gave a voice. Now, these voices and signs are to alert the people of God's word is just about ready to be vindicated. Always the sign is to attract the attention of the people. Don't ever forget that. And then the emphasis is not and should never be on the sign itself. That's why I say people can tell you more about Brother Branham's life than they can tell you about his relationship with Jesus Christ. Or their relationship with Jesus Christ, in which many of them have none. I'm sorry to say that. But many, many people who claim to believe this message, they can tell you all about Brother Branham, but they can't tell you about their own relationship with Jesus Christ. They want to ride the coattails of the prophet. You're not going to do that. He didn't come with a long tuxedo with tails on it. It's an individual affair. Then the emphasis is not and should never be on the sign itself, because the sign is only to attract attention. But once the attention has been attracted, the voice of the sign takes over. Then what about the epiphania that took place on the Ohio River in 1933? The light came down, it was a sign. But notice, then a voice followed the sign. The sign pointed the people to a message. It did not say, this is my servant William Branham. I want you to follow him, watch him, go on vacation when he goes, follow him like... It didn't say that. It said, as John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so shall your message forerun my second coming. There's a message. There's a sign. There's a voice to the sign. The sign came forth and then a message, a shout, the voice of the sign. And the shout of the king came into the camp. Always God sends a sign first, then the voice. That's the way God works. What good did the parousia of Christ do for those people who did not know even that he's here? Look, there's 7 billion people in the world. 7 billion. Another 20 years will probably be 7.5 billion. How many of them know that God is here, the Creator? No. So God gave us a sign to attract the attention of the people to his parousia. That was his epiphany, or epiphaneia. That was that shining forth, that pillar of fire coming down, standing over the man. It was broadcast through the UPI, I think it was, or United Press International, or one of those. Brother Vail talked about it. He saw it up in Canada. Of course, because it's not on Google, some of the people like the sign boys don't believe it. But I don't care what they believe. I believe what God vindicated prophet said and what Brother Vail told me himself. He said he saw it. So, but that was to attract our attention to the sign. And isn't it strange they have their website called Believe the Sign, and yet they don't believe the voice of the sign. Therefore, every sign has a voice behind it because the purpose of the sign is twofold. Number one is to get the attention of the people. And number two, once the attention is held, then there's a voice, which is a message that the sign declares. That's the whole purpose of the sign. As I said, look at a stop sign. For an example, it is shaped a certain way so that it will stand out as different from all other signs. We see its coloring, it's red and white, and outside stripes around the perimeter, so when you see it, you are attracted to it. And notice it has a voice, which is a message, and that message is for you to stop. We have many signs on the road, signs to yield, signs to watch for train crossings, deer crossings, or signs to caution, or road conditions, signs like slippery when wet, or signs telling you how far to a certain place, or speed signs, or exit signs. I've listed many signs here that we see on the highway every day. And if you'll notice, each one has a message or a voice declaring a certain thought that it wants to express. So we should be able to recognize that every sign has a voice, and the purpose of the sign is to get you to listen to that voice. That's why you hear me almost every sermon saying, listen to the tapes. Get the tapes out and listen to them every day if you can. Brother Brown preached the message, Voice of the Sign, several times. In one that he preached in 2:14 of 64, he was talking about Moses being attracted to the sign of the burning bush. And he said, there, now watch real close now. He's going to speak, so he has to attract the attention by a sign. And the sign's voice is what he's going to say, his word. His promised word is going to be vindicated. Now, see, I made a promise that I would take them out by a strong hand. I show my power in the land, and whatever he's going to do. Now, he made the promise to Abraham, and here he is ready to do it. So he gives a sign, a pillar of fire laying back in a burning bush. And he tells Moses, now you're going to be my mouthpiece. Go down there and I'll be with you. And when he got down there, then the promised word that he had promised was vindicated. And there was the voice of the sign. You get that now? I have heard their groans. I remember my promise. God never changes. He always does it in the same way. The coming of a prophet is a sign that God is ready to speak. Now search the scripture. See, the Bible says God said himself, he did nothing until he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. That's right. He does it through them because it comes to them. That's his servants. You know, all right. The coming of a prophet is a sign that's overlooked by the people every time. They overlook it. They never get it somehow. Lest it's those who got their eyes open to see it, those who are elected to see it, does see it. But the coming of a prophet was a sign that God was ready to speak, because if God ain't going to speak, the prophet wouldn't be on earth. Now, Brother Brett Vail preached a series on that in 1982 in Columbus. He said, no prophet, no God. No God, no prophet. Now, remember that. He wouldn't be on earth unless God was ready to speak, and that's the way he speaks, is through his channels. The unchanging God never did it in any other way. Now notice, this is always God's way of making his voice known to the people. He sends his prophet and gives a sign and then takes his voice that's been spoken before on his word and vindicates it by this man. And they know it's his voice because it's a promised word of the day. In other words, the prophet comes and he quotes a scripture and he says, this day, this scripture is fulfilled, and God vindicates it. Like Brother Brown said, God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. So if God said, let there be light, it might have been a million billion years, but when light came, that was the interpretation of God's word. When he said, a virgin shall conceive, and when it happened, that was the interpretation of it. When he said, there shall be an elect conformed to the image of the firstborn son, God vindicates that word by bringing it to pass. When he said there will be manifested sons of God, there's going to be manifested sons of God. Just as surely as he said it, there will be. I'm looking every day for some of those things to happen. When he said that he will adopt his elect children, then I'm looking for that adoption. I know there's got to be a spirit of adoption. I want to be in it. I know that you got to be born again to start, and somewhere along the path you are in that spirit of adoption. I'm looking at the end. I'm looking at the very image that I'm to be conformed to. I'm looking at the head, which is Christ, that my body is to be fitly joined together to. So I've got my eyes on those things, and I'm waiting for the manifestation of the revelation. If the people could only see that, if they could only stop just a moment and realize, see, you see, there's no way to make them believe. There's not a way that a man, God himself, can do it, make the people believe it. They've got to believe it. And if there's nothing there to believe with, how can they believe? See, no matter what you do, the Bible said, though he had done so many miracles, yet they could not believe. Because Isaiah foresaw it and said, they got ears and they can't hear, eyes and they can't see. And yet he was perfectly the Messiah, done exactly what the Messiah said. And they said, this man just breaks up our churches. We don't know from whence he comes. See, isn't that strange that they would do that? But the Bible said they would do that. Like the man whose eyes were blind from birth, and they said, who, give God the praise and deny this Jesus. He said, just a minute now. He said, isn't it strange you guys call yourself teachers, and yet no man has ever been born blind and has been given his sight. Now, he said, now I know God doesn't hear sinners. So this man can't be a sinner because God heard his prayer and he gave me eyesight. He had a lot more wisdom than those teachers did. And the Bible also said in this day that they do the same thing. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good, having a form of godliness, but would deny the vindicated word, the power thereof, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and so forth, from such turn away. For this is the kind that organizes women's societies and goes house to house and leads silly women, laden with diverse lusts and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, now that's prophesied, and that's got to come to pass because it's thus saith the Lord. Notice, but their folly should be showed up as Jannes and Jambres in the last day. And we have promises. God specifically, you can open up your Bibles and read them. We have promises for the elect. But how many people have entered into those? How many people have stepped into that water? Like Moses, God said, speak and go forward. And Brother Brown said, if Moses would have only spoke, nothing would have happened. And that's the trouble. We have a bunch of big mouths in this message that talk. And talk is really cheap. If Moses had not stepped into the water would not have parted. You've got to step into your Christianity. You've got to step into your being a son of God or not being a son of God. If you're not going to be a son of God, Brother Brown said, if I wasn't for this message, I'd be against it. So this day, take your choice. Either come in and be with it or come against it. Be the best adversary you can be. Now, always making known his voice to his people by his prophet signs. Now, I'm talking about Moses. That's where I'm banking that. I'm banking back. And then we see where we're at. God's word is manifested by the voice of the sign. Notice, the sign doesn't manifest it, but the voice of the sign manifests the word. Now, the sign that is promised for the day is done before the people. And then the written scripture comes forth is the voice of that sign. If it doesn't give a scriptural voice, then stay away from it. See, it's not God. Because God can't promise this for today and say, well, this is it. See, God cannot do that. God cannot promise something for one day and then say, no, it won't do that. That was for another day. What he promises, he must stay with. And the real scriptural sign is a scriptural voice. Well, we know adoption is for this day. It's for the end time. We know manifested sons of God is for the end time. We know that to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, that's for the end time. We also know that he says that the false doctrines will be not eating meat. Because he said, this know in the end time, the perilous time shall come. And he says, and men will come forth and they'll be and they'll be a falling away, and they'll teach that you should abstain from meat. Well, that's the end time. You see, there's end time signs. Now we've seen the fulfillment of that. Right? Thus it is written. Thus it shall be done. That's why I said when that stuff was going around, I said, look, I don't care if all the meat in the world is totally filled with arsenic. I will at least eat some so that I won't be labeled over here with those false spirits. Amen? He said, Brother Brandon, what do? We pray over it. We sanctify it by the word of God in prayer. From the voice of the sign, he said, notice the pillar of fire sign, and then the sign of then the voice of the sign spoke. See, the pillar, the sign of the voice was there, ready to speak. The sign only showed that the voice was ready to speak. Get the idea? The sign shows God's voice is ready to speak. You don't put a stop sign in the middle of the road, half a mile from the stop. You put the stop sign where you want the people to stop. That's what he's saying right here. Now notice, this is the case every time that the pillar of fire came. First, it was seen in a bush by Moses. Then when Moses was attracted to it, he heard the voice of the sign, and it was the voice of God who was the word. Then the same thing took place with Paul. He saw the pillar of fire, and then he heard the voice of the sign speak to him. The same in this day when the pillar of fire came down on the Ohio River, and then the voice of the sign was heard. From the voice of the sign said, now, now notice Jesus' first ministry. Oh, everybody wanted him in their church. Oh my, he's a great fellow, sure. He went into all the synagogues, read the scrolls, and sat down. Everybody, young rabbi. But one day, he began to talk to them in another way. The voice of the sign began to speak. And when the voice of the sign begins to speak, nobody wanted him. One of them said, this man's crazy. He's a cannibal, trying to make a cannibal out of all of us. See, he never explained it. He just let him go. In other words, he didn't fuss with them. He let him go. Notice here that Brother Bram is telling us something else about this voice of the sign. He's telling us that not everyone can receive it. It's not for everyone. And so it must be rejected by those who do not want the voice of the sign. And if they want to leave, let them leave. Don't fuss with them. It's revealed to you, hold on to it. It's not revealed to them. You can't make them understand. Can you give that revelation to a donkey? No. He just look at you and, don't understand. You can't make them understand unless God wants them to understand. The only way they're going to understand is if they got the Holy Ghost. From the voice of the sign, now notice. What does the sign do? The sign is to attract the attention and get the elected ready and out of the way before judgment strikes. That's what Noah did. Got the elected ready. The rest of them, and what does it do? The sign and the voice of the sign condemns the unbeliever and gets him ready for judgment. It gets the elected ready for the escape. What does John 14:12 do? It gets you ready for the escape. What's to turn it down do? It gets you ready for judgment. Look, why do I say that? Because a vindicated prophet came with us, saith the Lord, and he said it. It's to get us ready. It's to be looking at, look, we're not just to be pew warmers coming and listening to a lecture. We're not supposed to come and just listen to theology and say, well, my theology is better than their theology because I got more quotes for it. It's a life. And unless your life is in sync with the head, which is Christ, you won't have nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. You're a churchgoer. That's it. I pray for every one of you in here and those listening overseas. I just pray that every day you would take an inventory of your own life and say, Lord, where am I missing? Reveal it to me. You promise if I be any otherwise minded, you'd reveal it to me. Search me and try me, O God, and see if there be any iniquity in me. That's what David said. And he was a man after God's own heart. So he says the sign is to attract the attention, get the elected ready and out of the way before the judgment strikes. That's what Noah did, got the elected ready. The rest of them, and what does it do? The sign and the voice of the sign condemns the unbeliever and gets him ready for the judgment. It gets the elected ready for the escape. That's what a sign is. That's what signs are given for the coming judgment. The stop sign is to save your life. To not take heed, you watch. To the elected, they see it, like the little woman with a pure heart in a defiled body. The Pharisee with a pure body and a defiled heart. It condemned one, it saved the other, and the very judgment that saved Moses condemned the world is preaching. It gets the elected ready. What's the elected ready for? When they see a God-sent sign, they look back in the scripture and see that's supposed to be there. Yeah, here it is. What is it? Pending judgment. then the elected listens to the voice, but the unelected ignores and says, nonsense. They go on, we'll take the same old school. Why did God vindicate a Brother Branham? To let you know what the truth is, to get you ready. I'm going to say something, and I know I'm going to have a lot of flack from it. Why did God, in my own ministry, stop storms, change weather, come down with three rainbows? It's to say there is somebody that's listening and saying it like the prophet said it. God came to the prophet with three rainbows. He came over my ministry with three rainbows. I'm telling you exactly, and you can see it for yourself. It's all blue. It's what the vindicated prophet told us. People want to criticize it. Go ahead and criticize. You're criticizing God. I didn't do that. I was only standing there when he appeared. It's not what I know. It's what I surrendered myself to. I can say it just like Brother Branham said it. It is not about me. It's about him. And the others come on. What have they got? What have they got? What sign? What vindication? What has God done in their ministry to give them a right to condemn what God's prophet said and what I'm echoing? Tell me. Has God even shown that he's with them? Let me see it. Then the elected listens to the voice, but the unelected ignores it and says, nonsense, go on, we'll take the same old school. That's the way they did in the days of Luther. That's the way they did in the days of Wesley. That's the way they do now. Way they've always done, but it's a sign, and it has a voice that follows the sign, and the voice is identified as a scriptural voice. Now, don't forget that. I keep that going in because I may never see you again. I wish I had a way that I could come down here somewhere and get all my brethren, when they had no revivals going on, put up a tent and just set day after day after day and teach it till it really soaks in. But he wouldn't permit that, I don't think. See, so we're so close to the end. Now, it is important that we see here that Brother Branham is saying, he tells us that all will see the sign, but only the elected will be open to the voice of the sign. And because they believe the voice of the sign, it is salvation to them, but those who turn it down, judgment is all that is left for them. Therefore, the voice of the sign is for our benefit, to rescue us and get us ready for deliverance. That's what it was for Moses' day, that's what it was for Paul's day. Then if God don't change, then why do we think it would be any different in our day when the pillar fire has come down with the same sign as he did with Moses and with Paul? And he did it with William Branham. I'm not here with my own message. I'm here echoing what a vindicated prophet says. He said, say only what's on the tape and say, she said, say all that's on the tape and only what's on the tape. But will they do it? No, brother so-and-so said different, so I'm going to go with brother so-and-so. Goodbye. Nice knowing you. Because we won't meet on the other side except for at the white throne. That's right. Either you stay with God's vindicated prophet or you are lost, period. And Brother Vail himself, 36 times, he said, you follow me, you will go to hell. Why don't you quote that? Why don't they quote that? Because he was telling them to stay with the vindicated prophet. And that's what I'm telling you. Then why do men keep preaching the same old denominational doctrine and claim to believe the sign? They see the prophet, so they see the sign. But why do they keep preaching the same old watered-down doctrine that they held back in Pentecost? From the token, he says, he displayed his sign as Messiah and so forth. And they, many of them, said, yes, I could go for that. Well, now, if that was a sign, there's got to be a voice of that sign. What was the voice behind it? When he began to teach his doctrine. And they call them a bunch of snakes in the grass. Listen. Won't you see that? He called them a bunch of snakes in the grass. And you say, well, Brian, you preach too hard. Not as hard as Jesus. Not as hard as William Branham. But I'm trying to echo what they said. He wasn't popular from then on. Did they really care to be? When the voice came with the sign went first. Look, I don't care. I've always said, I don't care if I preach to the four posts. I love you all. Really, I do. But if you all turn on me and walk out, that's your business. That's your business. But I'm not going to step aside and not say what the vindicated prophet said. Well, you know, you could have a lot more fellowship. Listen, we could have 300 people in this church. 15 years ago, I did a little count. We had 220 people that had come and gone. And we had a whole bunch more come down from St. Paris. A bunch of them left too. We could have 300 people in this church if I had only toted their line. I'm not interested in their line because you know what? I want to make a rapture. And if I stand here as a hypocrite and tell you what you want to hear, I won't go in the rapture. And many a preacher is not going to go because he stood up there and he lied. He was a hypocrite. He knew better. But to gain his little personal income or whatever you call it, his little livelihood, he went after a mess of pottage. A certain big name minister in this message was talking to Joe Keller, your son, years ago before the wedding. He said, why don't you Lee Vale guys believe in doing mission work? And this young man replied, well, Brother Brian Kosorek does, and we support what he's doing. What about that? And this big shot, he said, oh, he doesn't teach the message. He only goes to teach the doctrine. And the young man told me, he said, I thought to myself, well, what is the message if it isn't the doctrine? But you can't argue with people who do not believe the voice of the sign. Oh, he doesn't preach the sign. No, I don't preach. God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in the God who's behind the prophet. Brother Bell told me years ago, he slammed it through my head, get your eyes off the vessel. Get your eyes off the vessel. Get your eyes on the God who's using the vessel. From lean not to your own understanding. Brother Branham said, lean not to your own understanding. And after the sign went forth and the voice following, and the churches begin to turn me down and close their doors upon doctrine, that any of them is darens to stand before me to say it's right or wrong. I challenge any of them, not to be smart, but I know where I'm at, see? That's right. What do they do? What do they do? They shut every door. Now, what are you going to do? I challenge 230 ministers in Uganda to come up, stand next to me with your Bible open and prove from the Bible where I'm preaching wrong. Not a one of them even flinched. And then I went through 15 questions that they had brought up at the last minute, hoping to trap me. And God took a hold of my mouth like a machine gun and just blurted out 2 to 3 scriptures to answer every single one of those questions. And they just sat there awestruck. I was too. That was the power of God. 230 ministers, and you can't... Listen, don't let yourself be bogged down by these naysayers. Forget them. Keep your eyes, keep your focus on Christ. Notice again that Brother Branham tells us that the church turned down the voice, which is the doctrine. From the meanest man in town, he said, oh, I would have loved to have been there to listen to that, no doubt. I believe that every person here would have longed to be there to hear what he had to say, to listen to his doctrine, what his doctrine was, how he expressed himself, and what type of a voice he had, and look upon his face to see him performing his works and discerning the thoughts of the people and telling them of different things and diseases they had and pronouncing them healed. I would have loved to have been there. Oh my, I would have loved to have seen that. And yet he did. You know, these churches claim to believe the word of God, yet they turn down the doctrine, which is the voice of the sign. Did you know what the definition of the word logos is? Oh, they all claim, I believe the word, I believe the word, I believe the word. I believe the logos. Well, it is the word that John uses in John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word, the Logos, was with God, and the Word, the Logos, was God. Now, the word Logos means word or speech, a word uttered by a living voice which embodies a concept or idea, but it also means a decree, a mandate, an order, what is declared, a thought, a declaration, an aphorism, a weighty saying, a dictum, a maxim, and it also means discourse, instruction, doctrine, and teaching. Therefore, we can say in John 1:1, in the beginning was the doctrine, and the doctrine was with God, and the doctrine was God. And Brother Branham said, Christ is the doctrine. So how you can say, well, we don't need doctrine in the church. We just need Jesus. He is the doctrine. And the same John wrote in 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled, of the doctrine of life. Because it's the same word, logos. The doctrine of life, but they made it a doctrine of theology. It's not, it's a doctrine of life. For the life was manifested, we've seen it, bear witness, show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we've seen and heard, declare we unto you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why God said in Deuteronomy 32:1, give ear, O heaven, and I will speak, and give ear, O earth, the words of my mouth, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as a dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, as a shower upon the grass, because the rain gives life to the herbs of the field. If the word of God is a doctrine, I mean, if God's doctrine falls as the rain, and we know in Deuteronomy 28, the rain is a blessing from God, then I wonder about places that are in a drought physically, if that isn't a natural of what is there spiritual. Proverbs 16:15, in the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. From resume of the church ages, Brother Bram said, the latter rain can only come as the former rain, which is the spring or teaching rain. The latter rain then is the harvest rain. Therefore, you had to have the prophet of God come with teaching, and then another rain would follow, which is the harvest rain. And since the teaching rain and the harvest rain are both rain, and God has said his doctrine is as the rain, then both must be the doctrine going forth. One to teach and the other to harvest purposes. Notice that when the last seed, elect seed is in and shall train, then we'll go. So you got two rains, one to raise them up and one to harvest. From Hebrews 6:1, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. And he didn't say leaving the doctrine of Christ. He said leaving the principles. That's the rudimentary things. The doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal life. And this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain which cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now there's the rain is there. It's a doctrine. Abraham's grace gift, he says, you're either a believer or not a believer. Now listen to Scripture. The man or woman that comes to a fact of Bible comes up against a scriptural doctrine, ministers, whoever you are, I say this with godly love, and you see it, and you know that it's the truth, and you turn away from it, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a fearful looking for judgment for the fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. I have shown brother after brother after brother, what Brother Branham said, he, anybody, everybody, every believer. And they say, well, I'll take this over here. If the hand does it, the body does it. Brother Branham never even said, if the hand does it, the body does it. You can't find one place where he said that. You can't! Why do you believe it? Oh, because Brother so-and-so said it. And Brother so-and-so also said, if you follow me, you're going to hell. Mm-hmm. That's right. He said, if you say you got to listen to me, he said, you are a liar, a liar, a liar, and you're on your road to the lake of fire. You don't have to listen to anybody, not me, not Brother Vail, but you got to listen to a vindicated prophet. And for you to say that if you listen to that vindicated prophet, you're going to be confused, no, you are already confused to say that. God is not the author of confusion, and neither is his voice. How dare? How dare they say that? It just shows they're unbelievers. I'll stand at the white throne, and I'll tell them, you're an unbeliever. You said that if you listen to a vindicated prophet, if you listen to William Branham, you will be confused and you will be lost. Brother, depart, ye that work iniquity. You knew better, but you said it in order to hold on to somebody's tithe. That's what it's all about. John 1:12. There are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water. Notice a cloud. A cloud is a witness. Many clouds are witnesses. That's what Paul says. Clouds without water, no rain, no doctrine. Carried about with winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit. And remember, the fruit is the teaching of the season. Therefore, these are they without teaching of the season, because they have no rain, they have no doctrine. God sent a prophet, God sent a prophet, God sent a prophet. I'm a witness that God sent a prophet. Well, would you teach us what the prophet said? No, God sent a prophet, God sent a prophet, God sent a prophet. Clouds without water. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame, wandering stars, wondering about this, wondering about that. Listen, he came down. Use this man, William Branham. All the mysteries. There's no more wondering about this or that. All the mysteries have been revealed. Isaiah 28 and 8. For all tables are full of vomit. I'm sorry, we only got about halfway through. Let's just close. We'll pick it up on Wednesday night. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for bringing to light so many other things that weren't in the quotes, but they were quotes from you. And so, Lord, we just ask that you be with us this morning. As we depart, we pray that you'd fill us, O God. There's only one thing that we want, to have your Holy Spirit. Because if we have your Holy Spirit, we're assured that we will understand the things of God. For no man without your Holy Spirit can understand the things of God. They're foolishness to him. And all this talk of John 14:12 is just foolishness to those without the Holy Ghost. And yet your prophet hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times spoken. So Lord, we just commit that your Holy Spirit would anoint those that are yours, because you said you will not lose one of yours. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And may the Lord make his face shine upon thee.